Now, how much of what Lucas and Anna and their family is involved in is counter to what all the things we would say are normal in our world? Those things that we would say are the way we should live our lives. We live in a time, in a culture, that we are called, or what is seen as normal, is we put all of our time and energy into doing things. You know, we do as much as we can, we own as much as we can, we work as hard as we can, we get our children involved in school activities as much as we can, whether it's sports or band or drama or whatever it might be. We're told that to find life, we've got to take it to the max. But to what end? When our lives in this world are in this culture, when we look and reflect on our lives, what is the purpose? What are the ends that we are seeking? You know, over and over again, we are told as we watch TV, as we are on our computers, wherever we turn, we're basically being told that what we have right now is not the newest, the latest, the greatest, the best that we could have. I remember many years ago when we bought our first computer, and we thought we were, we're going to buy this, and it was Windows 3.2. And we didn't have that computer 3 months before there was a new operating system out there. Microsoft had jumped up a level. But, you just keep what you have and you keep using it. Well, my mother experienced she got used to using Windows Vista, used it for years, knew how to operate it completely, and guess what? Microsoft stopped supporting that. And some of the things that she was using, wanted to go to get, the things that she was operating off of, she could no longer do it because Windows Vista was no longer supported. So she made the jump from Windows Vista to Windows 10. She's still trying to learn it all. She's had it now for 6 months. But it happens in all kinds of places. There is planned obsolescence around us all the time. We had a perfectly good operating photocopier that we'd had at the church for how many years? Was it? Oh, I know it had to be more than 7 years, because by law, the companies that put out photocopiers must supply parts for 7 years before they can cut it off. And we had now we have a new photocopier just because we couldn't get parts for the old one that worked perfectly good, but those parts wear out. It goes that way with everything we own, practically. And is that living free? Living in this world where we get drawn into thinking that our cars are not good enough, that we need to remodel our homes, that we need to upgrade this, upgrade that. And all of a sudden, do we not find that it's the stuff of life that we are working for rather than it working for us? And so we turn to Scripture. We turn to the Sermon on the Mount. We hear Jesus preaching to us in Matthew 5 through 7, and in the middle of that preaching, that coaching, that discipling that Jesus is doing about what it means to truly live, we run across these verses in chapter 6, verses 19 to 24 that Dean read for us, and also that next section that follows it, 25 through 34, where Jesus is teaching us about a godly attitude towards possessions and wealth. Remember what was in the passage that was read, verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then that interesting closing statement in that section, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart. And I think our world turns that upside down. They tell us that where our heart is, there's where our treasures are going to be. But which comes first? In our own human way, what we spend time on, what we devote our money to, our energy to, how we prioritize our lives, show us where our heart is. Verses 22 and 23. The eye is the window into our heart. Is there light or darkness? Our behavior results from our inner convictions, commitments. And sometimes we make commitments from the outside that start to change how we operate our lives. So are we really living free? Verse 24. You cannot serve two masters. It'll either be God or it's going to be wealth. Going on in the sermon, verses 25 to 34, which in my Bible is entitled, Do Not Worry, we see that our lives can get wound up and worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or wear. But Jesus reminds us that life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And every time we see Gentiles, you can also, in the Greek, you can also use the term nations in there. And the nations, probably including us here in North America, the nations strive for all of this, while your God knows what you need. But strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will give you all these things, what you need, food, clothing, shelter. His righteousness is displayed in how Jesus lived His own life. That's the righteousness of God, is in the life of Jesus. And so we find ourselves in really, and if we want to live according to what Jesus is encouraging us to, we have to work out this understanding of what do I really need versus what do I want. And we have a living example before us in a powerful way in what Anna and Lucas are doing. Making themselves totally available to God, putting their home on wheels, and then working through the what do they need and what do they want. I think it calls for two spiritual practices. One is called detachment, and the other is simplifying. Detaching as a spiritual practice is recognizing that our lives get connected to all kinds of things, stuffs, activities, whatever it might be, and they start to be the focus of where we choose to find life from. How many people, and I'll just, you know, how many of us find our lives, our attitude towards the world, based on whether the cadets are winning their football games, whether the streaks are winning their football games, whether the Blackbirds are winning their soccer games, the volleyball games, and all of that. How much of our well-being is determined by what the sports teams are doing? I'm not saying that sports are wrong, but if we derive our sense of self-worth, our attitude towards the world, based on how our basketball team, our volleyball team, our softball team, our football team, go Broncos, you know, if our lives determine, are on that level, we've got to detach from that. We've got to disconnect our well-being from the stuff of our lives. Because there is nothing in sports, nothing in what we own, nothing in what we do for a living that gives us life. And none of that does except Jesus Christ in our lives. That's what gives us life. That's what sorts out our priorities. Do we seek first the kingdom of God? Okay, consider your... Let's look at three different things and ask the question, what are our priorities? Not by what we think we should have, but by how we live our lives. First of all, take a look at your schedule. Think about what you've got ahead that you have to do this week. What is on your schedule to do this week? These are your priorities. What takes up the biggest part of your time is your number one priority. You can say God is number one, but how often is that the first thing you do it in the morning or not? Rather than saying the first thing, what is the prime time for yourself? When are you the most alert, the most knowledge, or most cued in? Some of us are going to say, it's 5 a.m., I wake up, I'm ready to go, that's what I want to do. And the question is, what do you do during those prime times for yourself. If your best time is 12 noon, is it 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Whatever it is, what occupies that prime energy that you have? That's your top priority. Consider the priorities of how you spend your money. Hate to do it, you know. If our priorities are also listed in the way we spend our money. And I know that, you know, for most of us, our house payment is probably the biggest thing that comes out of our budgets. If we're still buying our home, some of you, I know, have already purchased your home, and I think that is fantastic. And I'm working at that hard myself, and we, Bonnie and I, want to have that. We want to own our home free and clear. Where are we else spending our money? Again, our priorities are laid out in how we spend our money. What is the first thing that you don't do with your money if you've used up all the other stuff? What's the thing that you cut off saying, okay, we can get by with not doing that? I'm embarrassed to say that I've cut back on my tithe from time to time. Because what are we willing to go into debt for? We need detachment in our lives. We need that recognizing what it is that we are what we are using in our possessions, in our money, in our time, that is that we become absorbed into, and we need to detach. Because I think only as we begin to detach can we also begin to simplify by untangling the web of our lives. It's only after we detach we can look at and talk about what are the commitments that I've made for this week and this month and this year. I am so thankful for the number of people who have made commitments in this congregation to be the teachers for our youngest kids, for our Sunday school classes downstairs. It's just one area. That kind of commitment is wonderful. And we're still looking for Sunday school teachers and helpers. We've changed the curriculum for our Sunday school to try to give more help and assistance so that people who are not teachers can teach in the Sunday school for our little from preschool from up through junior high. We've working on that to try to make it so that anybody can do it if they are willing to, and we're still struggling. What kind of commitments are we holding that keep us from making commitments here at church. And can we reduce the other commitments around our lives so that our lives become more simple? Do we set our priorities that flow out of our love for God first? I grieve for our parents today that have children that are have the skill and ability to play athletics and do different things that right now we have traveling teams in soccer and whatever sport it might be that comes in and is already trying to get you out of church on Sunday morning so that your kid can be playing someplace. We make all these commitments, and I think it's wonderful. I want our children to be able to be athletic, to be smart, to be doing all that they could. I want that for you. I also want for you to have lives that are uncluttered, that are simple and clear and straightforward, and not find yourselves with loads of commitments that end up creating conflicts with other commitments, and you're stuck with trying to figure out it and to try to make sense of it all. What are our priorities that flow out from loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves? What are the commitments that come out of those, which means loving our children, loving our families, doing what's good for them? And how can we simplify our lives by reducing the number of possessions we have? You know, you see those bumper stickers around. Some of them, the who dies with the most stuff wins. Quilters saying, who has the most cloth wins. It goes in all kinds of ways, shapes, and forms. But how much of the time is our energy spent in keeping our possessions going together? And how could we reduce the number of possessions that we need? Simplifying our lives. Living free. That's the whole point. Living free in Jesus. To not be encumbered with the burdens of life. But to be free to do what God puts in your ear to do. There's a person in need by the side of the road. No, I got to go on. I made a commitment to be somewhere else. And on and on and on it goes. We are challenged by our Lord and Savior to know the difference between what we need, truly need, and what we want. And when we work at those differences, as we try to sort out these things in our lives, the commitments in our lives, the possessions in our lives, all the rest, we begin to see that God really and truly desires to first see that our needs are met when we make the kingdom of God our first choice. Can we discern between needs and wants? Can we be bold to make conscious choices between needs and wants? I just ask, in this week coming up, what is one or two steps that you can accomplish this week to simplify, to detach in your lives? Can you think about it? What can I do? What is God tapping you on the shoulder right now? What can I do? And maybe you come up with two. I encourage you, make those steps. Make those steps. Free up your life in one or two things. And see where that spiritually, socially, financially, wherever, and our, you know, whoever we, whatever we're involved in, if we take a couple of steps, one or two steps this week to free up our lives, what will God show you? What testimonies will we hear next week from you by taking these steps? God loves you. Jesus gave His life so that you may live. He teaches us, He shows us by His very life how we can be living free. Let's do it. For God's glory, our benefit, in Jesus' name, may it be.